the Fall & Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation from the NFL. Wireless technology, it's the best.
We're all over the now.
It's the best. What do you got? Oh, man. I love it. Bluetooth. Can't beat it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. We're going over NFL Wildcard Weekend. After that
Super Wildcard Weekend.
Well, sorry. After that super intro, we were going super wildcard weekend. So I'll run through the scores. The first game was the Seahawks going down to the 49ers, 41-23. The Jaguars, we'll talk about that.
Wow.
Beating the Chargers 31-30. The Bills sneaking out a win against the Dolphins 34-31. New York Giants beating the Vikings, knocking them out 31-24. The Bengals
quite happy with that.
The spirited Ravens, I thought, 24-17. And my Dallas Cowboys beating a pretty terrible, really, Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-14.
That was definitely the game of the round, hey?
Well, not to me, but
we'll start the best for last on Monday night.
It was my best game, but anyway. I guess.
Hey, look, I'm just sitting back watching the football. You guys have actually got horses in the race, so I'm cool at the moment. I'm good.
You didn't even have a first round pick. You got no idea what's going on.
We will have
negative
a first round.
-92 million cap space.
What do you mean you will?
Don't worry, we will have a first round pick.
Okay, I know what you're getting at. Yeah, all right. We'll talk about that one later.
All right, we'll get a first round up.
I get two. So we'll start with that first game. The 49ers just, they kind of started off. I mean, Purdy, I guess, was a little, to me, because I watched the whole game, was a little bit shaky at the start. For obvious
playoff jitters.
Yeah, exactly. First couple of drives weren't all that spectacular. But he did, you know, once he sort of, I guess, got the feel of the game, yeah, he got sort of red hot.
I mean, you can settle down a lot in that sort of environment as well. You know, once you start to make a few completions, you've got the ability to be able to hand off to the likes of Christian McCaffrey. If they make those design runs for Debo Samuel, and it's the same formula which has gotten them what 10 wins in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. They have been so good the past 3 months. And they're on their third-string quarterback. It's unbelievable.
And credit to the staff for making a move like Christian McCaffrey, which really has just absolutely excelled them as well. Like, obviously, they already had pieces on that offense. But, you know, when you're down to a third-string quarterback, give them the best weapons available. And Christian McCaffrey is arguably the best RB in the league, arguably.
Arguably. Look, so, when healthy, man, like, he is...
Swiss
he's,
Army
he's
knife.
He's a special talent. It's unreal the stuff that he can do. And this is, you know, this is the healthiest he's looked, you know, in an 8-game stretch in the last couple of years. Like he's been nicked up, and those sorts of injuries are, you know, they're 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then it's he'll have a game and then he's back on the injury report. You're like, man, can he get healthy?
You know what though, like with RBs, this is what happens when you're the only thing in town. You know, when he's on the Panthers, who else are you going to plan around? It's Christian McCaffrey.
No, well, and that's right too. And yeah, this offense really frees him up.
Yeah.
And
who can come in and I think he looks all right. He's been looking okay. And then you've got Debo, who'll give you a few runs. Purdy can run it a little bit as well, like.
So some of those scrambles that he did, like getting out of the pocket, that one score, was it in the fourth quarter? And it was an incompletion but he scrambles to the left, runs almost to the sideline, then pirouettes, goes all the way back to the right. And I think it was Brandon Ayuk that missed that dropped the pass in the end zone right in the back corner. It's like, but it was that just thread the needle. And it's like, how the hell did he even get that pass into the end zone? It went straight past the defender. It was unbelievable.
That I kind of thought Ayuk would slide down a little bit in offense, but I think he's been fairly consistent this year, even with McCaffrey in there.
This has been his most efficient year by far. He's done a lot with what he's got, which is all you can do, especially when you've got so many weapons around you. So he's made himself very valuable.
No, that's right. He had the highest reception average, but he only had three catches. And realistically should have had a touchdown catch. So fairly complete, I think, with San Francisco.
Well, yeah, except for that sort of second quarter, we've been praising, a lot of people have been praising their defense, but their secondary wasn't as good as what they usually are in letting those sort of 17 quick points in. Seahawks realized they could sort of throw on them and then it ended up working. When you've got someone like DK Metcalf, just running with like 0.2% body fat and just ramming over people.
He's a tank, and
a quick tank too. Turn of speed he had in that first touchdown was insane. Spirited enough. I think, they're one of the not the only one, but they're to me a very intriguing team next year. I know we're not really going to go into that, but I'm just saying, in terms of intriguing as they have, they're going to have a very high Broncos first round pick and their own pick. And need to decide what they're going to do with Geno.
From what I've heard, they're going to roll it back with Geno. He's got a 2-year deal, so I think that they're going to roll it back. I'm not sure what the next year's draft looks like. I know that it's very few sort of wide receivers in that draft next year. I think it's going to be not so much vanilla, but it's going to be very in the trenches type, at least first round, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, I think are the flavor for this year's draft. So they could either look to maybe try and protect Geno a little bit more maybe try and give him a little bit more on the defensive side of the ball. With the high draft pick, either at linebacker or in the secondary.
Yeah, that's probably not
Carroll is
bad.
Very vanilla.
Well, no, he is, but look, didn't he maximize, skill set and what he can get out of Geno Smith? It's unreal.
And don't forget, their left tackle and right tackle were both rookies this year, so that's pretty impressive on a 9-8 record. So, I know what you mean, Aiden. Like, they are vanilla, but Pete Carroll can get a lot.
That's what wins football, though. But that's just what he always wanted. That's why I don't think that's why they were a fan of Russell Wilson, because they have a system, and there was always those complaints of, let Russ cook, let him do this, let him do that. And look what happens when Russ gets the keys.
they might even get a late, purely because he's getting on age. They might even get a late wide receiver with their first round pick. Who knows? Ty Lockett's not getting any younger. He's 31 next year. He's still okay, productive enough, but I think you're right. That first pick of that, they're going to have that very high first pick, will probably be something in the secondary or maybe a linebacker. It's probably not a bad idea. They look great.
Just a steamroller in the fourth quarter. Look, that game was close up until the third quarter. Do you know what I mean? The San Francisco just goes bang, bang, early in that fourth quarter, and pretty much put the game out of reach. Two TDs within the first 5 minutes in that fourth quarter. And, that really put it out of reach.
Are we worried about Purdy? Like, as good as this 49ers team is, are we what? Like, are we legitimately saying that Brock Purdy can get them to the Super Bowl?
hasn't given you any reason not to believe that he can't, but when does the bubble burst? That's all I'll say. They've got to ride the hot hand while they've got it.
I think if anything, you look at the system that they're in, and the NFL is a very coach driven league. I mean, Jimmy's, you know, a good game managing quarterback, but Purdy has been doing the game managing plus giving you that extra burst, and Shanahan makes shit work. He really does. You know, he's an offensive guru mind. He will make things work. You know, as long as their defense can keep them in the game, which, you know, they've the best defense in the league, even though they may have exposed themselves a little bit in the Seattle game moving forward. But I think they have too much. Shanahan's a great mind. I think they'll keep every game close, that's for sure. And then maybe when it gets down to crunch, does Purdy have the capability to win in crunch? That's what it'll come down to.
That's what it'll come down to. I think they had the best plus minus point differential in the league. So you know, they're keeping teams at arm's length, and that's the best way to keep the pressure off Brock Purdy. You keep the pressure off him, and he can shine the way that he does. We haven't really seen him under the pump, you know, with scoreboard pressure, and we'll just have to wait and see. Like, the games are only going to get harder, so it's you could only assume that it's going to come eventually.
And he's got Trent Williams. Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, Trent Williams helps a big deal.
Oh, for sure.
And they're one of those teams, just like the you know, Tennessee, that have been successful, where it's not really about the QB, it's about the playmakers in the team. Yeah. Get the ball to your playmakers, they make plays, they get yak. That's what those receivers are, yak receivers. Christian McCaffrey makes plays. As long as Purdy can deliver a ball, those players make plays. You know, very much like Tannehill having success, Purdy can have success as long as he can get the ball to them.
Look, I know we haven't seen much of him, but this is why I kind of am not worried about Trey Lance, for what you just said then.
Yeah.
It's like, he doesn't have to do much if they can have this team around Trey Lance.
Trey Lance just got to be healthy.
If Purdy gets them at least to the Super Bowl, it would be 100%. But if he can get them through, you know, even the next round, I don't know how you take him out of the driver's seat. Until he has a mental collapse, if he takes them this distance, Lance, and you know, when Lance played, he didn't look amazing in the system.
No. And now this injury, that it's another whole season wiped out. So that puts Trey Lance's development another year behind.
I don't know. I will
probably bet any kind of money that Brock Purdy won't start over Trey Lance next year. Jimmy G won't be there, but there's no way that you basically give up three first-round picks. What was it, three? Yeah, it was three.
What do you take?
Do you take the winning, or do you take, we did this to get this? Winning is the ultimate. I get that.
But if they win, I get that. But if you win the Super Bowl, say they win the Super Bowl with Purdy, that doesn't mean that you can start using Trey Lance next year.
Why not shop Trey Lance?
That's what I thought about.
I was half thinking of that. That was in the back of my mind. Why don't you shop Trey Lance? But you're not going to get back to what you used for him.
No, of course not. But that's the thing. Shanahan
was too enamored with him. I just think he. Well, Shanahan, if you're going to shop anyone, maybe shop Purdy, like a sell high.
You know,
you're not getting much for Purdy.
I could see them starting Purdy.
There'll be some dummy teams out there that will see the potential in Trey Lance that they could fleece.
I could see them starting Purdy, and just if he does F up at all right, let's get Trey Lance back in. Just having that hanging over his head the whole time. Until the winning stops.
Yeah, so you both
tough off-season decision.
You both really believe that Purdy, let's say even it gets to the Super Bowl, you really believe that they all start Week One over Trey Lance?
I just don't see like how said, you I, don't.
If they get to the Super Bowl, I don't know that they're so invested in Trey Lance. But you know what I mean. I never said that you would continue to start.
No.
They are so invested in Trey Lance. They've got such a boner for him. They're going to put him in there straight away.
Yeah. But his, you know what, though? Even if he goes in, he'll have the shortest leash ever. If they start off shit,
three games down,
see ya. back to the bench.
I agree with that. He has to come out firing. No, that I agree with. I think he'll start winning.
He'll have a team built on winning now.
That's a tough ask.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you. If you go and look in the lot of the 49ers fans subreddits, I've literally seen people saying, you watch, Brock Purdy will be better than Mahomes. Like, the fans are enamored. Oh, they're ecstatic.
If you've got any Brock Purdy cards, sell them immediately. Yeah. You will be getting dollars on the cents at the moment.
He's not big enough for the NFL, and I hate saying that kind of thing, but he's not. It's not like he's Kyler Murray, who's small, but Kyler Murray is mobile and still has a bit of, like, he's small and high, but he's a solid dude. Purdy is none of those. Purdy is, unfortunately, he's smaller than Baker Mayfield, for God's sake. I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying he's smaller. So
hold on, sorry, listeners. Big cock Brock, don't turn him down. Big cock Brock.
Jesus Christ. All right, well, I'll move it on to the next game, which he might go to this team. Who knows? This team is the Los Angeles Chargers blowing a 27-0 lead and losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 31-30, which is perfect record for Trevor Lawrence, who has not lost on a Saturday since high school.
Yeah, that's insane, isn't it?
Insane, but it's not. You really didn't think they were going to win. I didn't think they were going
to
win.
I picked, look, at the start of the round, I picked Jacksonville to win this game. I had money on Jacksonville to win this game. And at 27-0 down, if you had a bet slip, you would have been tearing it up into little teeny tiny pieces. And then you would have been dirty at the end of the game.
Did you see that there at the halftime, I better put on $1.4 million just to make $11,000 on charges to win out. And then obviously lost $1.4 million.
Sucked in.
Man, I wonder what Jacksonville would have been paying.
If you've got that much to gamble, you've got that much to lose.
Oh, mate.
What Jacksonville were paying at that?
11 mil, surely.
Nah.
11 mil, mate. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Easy.
So,
a tale of two halves?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I can't work out how Chargers lost this game.
Well, you know what?
How did Atlanta blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl? but that's what this comes down to. Like, Brandon Staley has got to be so much smarter. And he's supposed to be the new boy wonder. He's supposed to be Sean McVay. He's supposed to be Cliff Kingsbury. He's the boy wonder. He's the awful. He's supposed to be a defensive genius. But Yeah, Joe Lombardi's the one that's sort of running the offense here, who coincidentally gets fired after this, who's been the scapegoat, I think, for this loss.
I agree.
You just need to milk the clock and Bailey run the ball in the second half.
He should go.
Stanley should have went. He should have went, but he's not. They would have done it by now.
You know what, though? This is the thing, though. Like, this isn't the first game. The Raiders game that they lost that they should have won was also bad decisions. You can't ride a coach that doesn't make good decisions in the biggest moments. You can't, like.
But the thing is too, like, you know, that's also on the offensive coordinator as well. Like, you know, Staley, if he's calling the plays offensively, or is that Joe Lombardi? So, you know, Joe Lombardi has fallen on his sword. This is a la, you know, a couple of years ago Super Bowl. Don't overcomplicate things. You have got a 27-point lead in a playoff game. They're the ones that have to make all the running. Trevor Lawrence's confidence will be in the toilet with four first-half interceptions. You don't even give him the chance to do what he did, and you just keep punching the ball with Austin Ekeler. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, guys like Josh Kelly. You keep the ball away from them. Be smart. You don't have to overcomplicate things. It's insane.
I did digging why they couldn't get rid of Stanley, and it comes down, honestly, to cheap owners, that they don't want to pay for two coaches.
They have some of the cheapest owners in the league.
They are, and with coaches, how you have multi-year deals, all the coordinators are on one-year deals, so easier to get rid of, obviously. So, they didn't really want to pay for two, because he would have still had to get paid, Stanley, because you've got to get paid out. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, they just didn't want to pay, but get rid of everybody else around him, because they're going to have to pay for Herbert sooner or later.
Ah, yeah.
So, that's just going to happen. They're just going to have to. Look, while they missed Mike Williams, I think we're glaring over, well, at least for me, Jaguars, how great Josh Allen was, their linebacker, who's been great all year for him. He had four PB hits and a sack. He is good, Josh Allen.
He is, he's had the potential since college, hasn't really, not so much found his feet in the NFL, but he hasn't made those sort of earth-shattering plays that made him a high draft pick, coming out of college. Do you know what I mean? Like, he stepped up in his first playoff game, so you can't fault it.
They have studs on the defense for sure. Like, they brought in from Atlanta Olukon, who was the league leading tackler the last couple of seasons as well. Just a stud. They're building the team up in the right way. That's for sure. I don't know if I can hear you, Jason.
I'm just agreeing with you. Yeah, no, you're right. They are building it. We all, I know I did. I'm pretty sure you both scoffed at that 3-year. 84 mil for Christian Kirk, but he's been
consistent this year. I did.
And he was good in this game.
Even paying Zay Jones, and he's had a career year. And then to make things even better, Calvin Ridley, who is a true wide receiver one in my books, goes there next year.
Kirk
goes back to his really good number two role, or Ridley works his way back in. And then
I think that will be a second half of the season type deal. I think with Jacksonville, I think they'll try and wean Calvin Ridley, into this system, into this team, keep Christian Kirk, cooking the way that he is. Even Marvin Jones, who was sort of, a second and third receiver in Detroit.
Don't forget my guy from the Giants, Evan Ingram. Who has looked pretty damn good for him this year.
I can't believe a career resurgence. He was the last two years at the Giants, he was nowhere to be found.
That's right. He's pretty much now what the Giants wanted him to be.
Yeah,
he's exactly what the Giants wanted him to be.
And you know what? People forget, like, he wasn't toted to the level, but in terms of, like, coming out of the draft as an athletic tight end, he was it before, like, Kyle Pitts, in terms of just his athleticism was insane coming out. He was highly touted. And then, obviously, it first season, he looked good. Same as Saquon and whatnot.
No, he's rare. Rookie season, he was amazing.
And then, he's gone to this system. And the one thing we haven't seen from the Chargers yet, which if they unlock could put them to a new level, Travis Etienne was an amazing pass-catching running back in college with Trevor Lawrence. And he's been an amazing runner, they haven't utilized that part of the game with him yet. He's more of a
power runner, and he's showing that at the moment. But if they can unlock his pass catching ability, that they have got unbelievable weapons all the way through that offense. And
also,
we haven't even talked about. The first pick in Trayvon Walker. Wait until he starts to develop, so that they have, they've got some scary stuff there.
But,
and Doug Peterson, I think, can put it all together.
Exactly.
Just to give Trayvon a shout out. Sorry, Jason.
Doug Peterson. No, I was going to say, that's the one we should be talking about more. Doug Peterson. how he turned around this year and how Doug Peterson is in the playoffs. Look what he did with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Like, he has a legitimate chance of beating the Chiefs. A very legitimate chance. He worked under Andy Reid. He knows Andy Reid. He also knows how to quickly change things, Doug Peterson.
No, that's right. That's what the playoffs are like.
Look at that running play that they threw when they were going to look like they were going to go full head of steam straight down the middle to make those inches, and then threw it to Etienne, who had that who had the wrap going on the outside. They looked like they were just going to run it straight down to make the inches on that running play with Etienne. They had the big bodies out ready to just run it down. Like, their plays are amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, on to the point of Trayvon too. Like, I watched the game where they played, you know, they played Tennessee to win out the division, and Trayvon was neutralizing Derrick Henry. Like, he's going to be a stud all around for years to come.
Tough job to do that too. And while I guess the game plan would have been fairly simple, I think for Tennessee, that it was going to be Derrick Henry. While you can see that coming, it's another thing to be able to go, okay, we're going to stop Derrick Henry. And that, yeah, they did an unbelievable job in doing that.
Next game, the Bills beat the Dolphins, but I swear it felt like for me that Josh Allen was trying to give the game to the Dolphins to win.
We talked about this. We talked about this earlier. Josh Allen is an amazing front runner. Once the pressure gets put on, he's had an unbelievably reckless back end of this season.
What was his injury? Was it shoulder or something?
It was the right elbow.
His throwing went downhill after that.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's still
we're going to hear about it in the off season. I totally agree.
Big time.
He's going to say
if they don't make it past this next round, or if they don't make it to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a massive excuse train. He must have still been injured. Oh, but we kept trotting him out there like it's the excuse train is going to be endless.
You're right. He's for some reason not staying in the pocket. I don't get it. He wants to scramble. I just don't get why he wants to scramble so much.
That's his natural instinct.
Yeah, well, it nearly lost him the game in this. I'm telling you, it nearly lost him the game. He had really, really dumb calls. Extremely dumb calls.
They had Miami had no right to be anywhere near close to this game
with Skylar Thompson,
and then to be leading 24-20 in the third quarter. It's like what in the hell is happening here again with a third string quarterback? Like what in the hell is happening here? Jaylen Waddle shit the bed something fierce in this game. I get playoff jitters. Okay, but holy mackerel, man! Like what? What more do you want?
I think if they had someone like Raheem Mostert in that team, if he was available, they probably could have come close to winning that.
Their run game. Yeah. Miami's run game has been, I think, quite disappointing this year, considering the fact that when Mike McDaniel came there, it was going to be, oh wow, he's the run guru. Like he's got the guys there for his system. You know, Jeff Wilson is a former 49er. Raheem Mostert is a former 49er. He's got the guys there, and he has not unlocked that potential. And Miami just, wow. They were a couple of F-ups at the end of that game, play clock-wise, from winning that game. There was one point there where they had to burn a timeout. They had, 51 seconds to get a play called and get it run, and they could not get it run.
I still think, like, the one thing I've, you know, around this game and this season, so people have already been calling for McDaniel's job, so I think that's ridiculous.
That's insane. They had, you know, such especially a poor like end how up and season. Down
QB has been up and down.
Sorry, did you say that they're talking about like they're talking about his position?
Towards the end of this season, there's been the people are calling for his job because of how. I found that ridiculous the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
Well,
with
they, look,
like,
they
look, at how, look at how they started off. Yeah.
They're 8-3.
Yeah.
And, no, and it, you know, the thing is, too, it's funny because, you know, look at where Tua was in the start of the year with the, like, you know, MVP consideration and whatnot. When he was coming out, people didn't think he was going to do much of anything. You know, he was an all right quarterback, but they didn't see him doing what he did this year at the start of it. And,
he wasn't going to be their quarterback. He was not going to be their quarterback.
Exactly.
We know last year he got
sat. He got sat for Fitzpatrick in those games, and this year he looked damn good. And I think with more
benched.
Yeah, with more consistency, what more could he do? I think he can do a lot.
He wasn't going to be their quarterback. That was the thing. We know who their quarterback was going to be up until the tampering and all that happened.
Exactly. Mm. So they had at least not faith, but they had doubts. That he was going to, I guess they wanted him to be good quick, and that's what happened. It hasn't worked out that way. You know, we all know what happened. You know, with the Brady saga, they ended up losing a draft pick for tampering. So, look, if
Don't
they
be,
can,
um,
they need to be able to protect him a lot more on that front line. They had the protection at the start of the season. Then, you know, a few of their offensive linemen go down, then you're starting to get into the backups. And once you start to rush Tua, you know, I listen to a very Miami centric, podcast, and, you know, they are extremely critical of what their offensive line has been at the back end of this season, not being able to protect Tua. And we've seen the results of that. He's had, you know, he's had three concussions, and the doctors hadn't cleared him for this game. We all seen what's happened. Yeah, the Buffalo game, the Cincinnati game. The Cincinnati game was obviously the more troubling one with the fingers go here. The fingers turning
the
into a war.
I fully believe he'll sit out all of next year. He cannot get one more concussion.
Well, and that's right, and that's what I'm thinking. Like they're going on in Miami about, oh, okay, well, you know, we won't play him for this game because, you know, we need to look after him for the next year. What is 6 months going to do, getting your head healthy and to be able to play this game and not have fear of any more concussions? The doctors are saying that, oh, he's not more prone to concussions than anybody else in the league. It's like, yeah, but he's just had three this year.
They've got to do
something.
I fully believe he's going to be laid up, but I fully believe he'll sit out a year, and that's where Brady's going to play his final year. Because I still think that's in play, and I think if he has one more year there, Tua sits out because he has to. If he has one more concussion, he's done from the game. That's not he's gone. So he'll sit out the year, and that's where Brady will go for his last year, because his kids are still in Florida. There's a whole lot of reasons for him to stay in Florida, obviously.
He's got houses, multiple houses in South Florida, not just in Tampa, in Miami.
Yep. That is what's going to happen next year. So I can't wait. It's going to happen. Makes sense. We're all around.
I mean, it does, but. It's going to be the thing will be is, yeah, Brady's contract is over. If he really wants to do this and he really wants to win, the only problem I see with that scenario is, again, Tua into trouble. Offensive line. Tua can scramble a little bit. Tom Brady cannot scramble.
And look, and also, like, you know, I don't mind their running backs, but it's not the running game for Tom Brady either. Like, at least in Tampa, he had Lenny and Rashad White.
But the way that Brady has been the last couple of seasons, how quickly he gets the ball out, as you don't need to protect him for long. And those guys that they've got there in Raheem Mostert, he's as quick as lightning. Jeff Wilson is a good pass catcher.
He's also made of glass. Let's not forget that either.
No, that can be utilized. The only problem is you don't unlock the speed of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Because if he's got to get the ball out in under 2 seconds, there's only so far those guys can get up the field in that regard. And he will need some serious protection up front.
Yeah, that's going to be his only problem is the offensive line. But they might take a small paycheck and just say, go.
Oh, that's what'll happen. Yeah, that's
a good left and right tackle.
Yeah. That's what'll have to happen.
I wouldn't rule it out. Next game, you may as well let Aiden talk about this whole game. 31-24, the Giants beat the Vikings. Go, Aiden.
Well, the biggest thing that I sort of took from it straight away was how Daniel Jones opened the game up with his legs, looking like Josh Allen 2.0. I think that really set the catalyst for the game. Even though he didn't have much rushing into the second half, he tore them up first half of the game with his legs. And I think that opened up the rest of the game for the receivers. Saquon had 2 touchdowns, wasn't the biggest game ever, but still consistent and good. But yeah, the running game at the start with Jones and Saquon really opened up for Isaiah Hodgins, Richie James and whatnot. And they ended up having a pretty good game, those receivers as well. Defense sort of came through. But you know what? I'm not even going to put as much on us as I, even though, look, Daboll, we'll get more into that later on. Giants have turned it around, and I'll talk later on about how they've turned around. But speak about one of the biggest frauds in the league, the Vikings.
Oh, big time.
How misleading was their record? What was it, 13-4? But then obviously when you break it down, look at the numbers, close game.
Ten of those wins by I think they were by 4 points or less.
You know, like
it's so glaring.
It just came down to our system against theirs.
It's so glaring because their DVOA that we were talking about before was second last in the entire league. Yeah. That's how glaring it was. And much of an outlier it was. They're second last in DVOA.
Yeah.
It's insane.
But in saying that, what do we blame this on? Do we blame this on, you can't blame this on Kirk Cousins. The only thing you can blame on Kirk Cousins is the very final play of that fourth and eight, whatever it was, 50 seconds to go or whatever, that fourth and eight. And then he goes for a check down to TJ Hockenson, who was already covered. There you go. Make me another 5 yards with somebody on you, will you?
Kirk does worry me though when it comes to big time because he sometimes makes some real brain dead passes, brain dead decisions. But you know, at the end of the day, their defense is just abhorrent. It's horrendous.
Secondary horrendous. Their second tier is not that much better.
Yeah.
That's a scary sort of part. Like you said, you know, their offense was the one that was keeping them in games. You know, it was basically a no show from Thielen. They had their 2 big guys in Jefferson and Hockenson making the plays, but they also needed a bit more out of the run game, out of Dalvin Cook. But you know, I think Kirk Cousins did everything he could to try and keep this game alive. Like I said, apart from that final play, which was terrific coverage by the Giants defense at the end there. And that stopped, you know, that stopped them in their tracks, killed the game. And all I'll say is if this was a 1 p.m. kickoff, the Giants might have been in trouble. But since it wasn't, Kirk Cousins just doesn't seem to be able to play outside of that 1 p.m. window.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
All the refs don't make shit calls.
Well, that could be it too.
It was a Giants defense for me. Like as great as Daniel Jones was, but you said it perfectly. I think they nullified Jefferson, they nullified Thielen, and the Vikings defense was nowhere near as good as the Giants defense.
Wink Martindale.
What you said before about Dave, is pretty much what I'm going to say later as well. I'm pretty sure as well. I think going into next, like they're going to. I mean, they have to sign Daniel Jones. That's clearly a no-brainer now.
They went in there this year. Didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He's proven to the organization that this was his best season. I think with the way that Daboll coaches these guys, like, you can see that he's resonated with these guys. He believes them in them, and that they've responded. I think they could really do with a good wide receiver, like, a genuine number one.
And
they
could be a genuine number one. That. It wasn't a serious thing, but I've heard that DeAndre Hopkins wants out.
I sort of said,
that'd be nice, because he had half a season off. He would have fresher legs. He balled out when he came back. I don't know. That's one thing I've been absolutely preaching is a wide receiver, and not Kenny Golladay.
He's been a major disappointment.
Well, but I mean, like, but then look at what they. You're right. They do need a wide receiver, but look at what they're doing with what they have as well.
No, that's right.
Yeah. So they.
But you want them improved. You want them improved now.
Interesting. So they actually, I'm just looking at their. They have an actual $54 million cap.
Yes.
Like estimated cap space. Obviously, probably let's say 25 is going to be taken up by Jones, you would assume. 25, I think you have 25, 30 next year. So there's that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they could easily fit. And you probably would.
Who they want to upgrade as well, who's there already. You can't just go, obviously Daniel Jones is going to be a contract upgrade, but yeah, they could be. That they could be wanting to upgrade other positions, otherwise they'll lose them.
Well, the only the one they glaringly looking at what they need to get rid of is the Kenny Golladay contract. But that's
that's right.
Yeah, he's getting paid massively.
Yeah, the rest of the contracts aren't sort of too as bad. Like Leonard Williams is probably the biggest one, but that's Leonard Williams.
They've got wouldn't be
getting rid of that.
They've still got some pretty good players on that defensive front. Kayvon Thibodeau had, the first four or five games of the season? He's been amazing at the end. Dexter Lawrence was getting to Kirk Cousins a lot in that game, putting a lot of pressure on him. He's a beast. So, defensively, they've still got a couple of good linchpins and a really young, good play there in Thibodeau. So it's,
we've got a lot of young, good pieces.
Yeah, that's right.
What do we sign Landon Collins?
The biggest problem I'm looking at here is the two dud wide receivers. 4 years, 72 for Golladay. 4 years, Sterling 41 Shepherd. For Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard. So that's the big one.
You know what? It's sad too, because Sterling is a pretty decent wide receiver. He's very solid. He just can't stay healthy.
Although 10 million is probably not as bad, I suppose, when you look at Golladay's 18 average salary. Probably not as bad, I suppose. Yeah.
But so. a tough contract to shed. I think both of them would be.
Oh, well, but if they cut his, it's a $20 million cap hit, dead cap, the Golladay one. So,
yeah.
We'll move on to the next game. The Bengals running through the Ravens 24-17.
Did they really run through the Ravens?
Not really. I mean, they won, and I like the Bengals personally.
I like the Bengals.
They were sort of hitting towards their stride towards the end.
Yeah. This game didn't show me much. I don't think of what the Bengals are capable of, because they could have easily lost this game, and they will rue those first half. They have three field goals in the first half. They could not get any traction once they got past the 50-yard line, and nothing in the red zone. So, if they had lost this game, that those would have been the moments that they would, that they would have been kicking themselves, that would have lost them this game, and they were really lucky. They had a really nice second half, and one of the more freakish plays with 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter, which was a huge momentum swing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, what was the biggest play of the game? Obviously, there wasn't probably much to this except for Bengals, squeaking the win. But that was on the back of a wild Tyler Huntley 2-yard stretch out QB sneak and losing the ball. And then
It was Hubbard, wasn't it?
I thought it was Trey.
Trey might have knocked the ball out, but Sam Hubbard was the one that picked it up and went 98 yards.
98 yards, and then needed some serious oxygen tank after that.
he needed some serious help once he got into the 20 yard. Mark Andrews nearly caught him.
Mark Andrews is so quick anyway. And if he didn't have a blocker, he would have caught him.
That's right. He still needed help to get to the end zone.
I think
one thing with this game too, it shows you though, like when you, regardless of the state of the teams, like division rivals, when they know you very well, even if they've got a secondary QB, they still will play you to the end. I would still back the Bengals somewhat because, Baltimore is a tough division rival. They know them so well.
They're a great defensive team. Like the Roquan was Roquan again. Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton, that Patrick Queen. That defense is so solid kept them in the game. So
very good pieces.
Obviously their off season it's clear what their off season is. The only thing that they got to do.
This contract negotiation with Lamar Jackson has gotten very, very stinky.
So these are their options, right? These are their options. Again, I looked this one up because it's kind of being glaringly looked over as I think it's the biggest off-season story, to be completely honest, compared to Brady on that. I think it's the biggest because they have the three options. They obviously pay him what he wants. That's the first option. And he wants to shun money, okay, before you say
caught up. And that's insane.
Okay, so that's the first option. The second option is they sign him to a non-exclusive franchise tag, which what that means is other teams can negotiate with him, and if they don't want to pay him, they don't have to, but on the flip side, they get two firsts back from that team. They get two firsts. Yeah. That's how the rules work. Or they franchise tag him for a 1 year, $45 million.
It's a massive
$45 million.
It's a massive hit if they tag him.
It's really controlled the non-exclusive one now because he's worth more than two firsts. So you've been trading him.
Of course he is. Yeah, of course, that's gone.
They have painted themselves in the corner, and they have to pay him. You've got to pay him.
Yes, yeah. But you can't be a ridiculous organization like the Cleveland Browns and what they did with the Sean Watson. They have distorted the market so badly on this, and every quarterback now is going to be like, "Oh, I want Deshaun Watson money." That's the Cleveland Browns. They're idiots.
I get that, but they put themselves into this position at the end of this season. They could have sorted this earlier.
The Watson contract hasn't helped. It's totally guaranteed. No. It's insanity.
Yeah.
No, but they have to pay him at least very close.
That's going to be the ceiling right there. They're going to be like, well, Deshaun Watson, he got that. Fully guaranteed.
It's only going to go up anyways, and that's the thing. Like with the way their TV deals and whatnot are.
It's not the contract.
It's not the contract is farmy. It's the fully guaranteed part of it. That is pure.
We are talking about the Browns, though. It's the Browns.
Exactly.
So if I were to pose that to you as a hypothetical, saying which team would do this, you would say the Cleveland Browns.
They'd be right up there on that list.
But the thing is, right, he has, that's what I want, and I'm refusing to budge. And he has to move. I don't know. That's right. But the thing is I don't know if another team, if they don't want to pay for the Ravens, does another team really want to do it? As great as Lamar is, or can be.
Circumstance, it's going to be cap space, it's going to be all of those sorts of things that go into that
and
decision.
There's only really one owner. To me, there's only one owner that would do it because they've got a pretty good team and he does like to spend the Panthers with David Tepper. I know he was talking about Panthers, eh? He is a Carolina boy, Lamar. David Tepper doesn't mind spending money because he's got so much of it. He's playing with three coaches at the I know that, but he's playing with three coaches at the moment, and they have a young side. They have a very young side. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't see it moving. But
Lamar needs to be realistic as well. Like it's good to go there and back yourself and go, but have a look at the back end of the season. He missed the last eight games, and he's basically gone out there. I can't remember who. I think it was Marlon Humphrey. Sort of, you know, probably let the cat out of the bag a little bit in the lead up to the Cincinnati game, and he was having a chat with a reporter, and he sort of let the cat out of the bag and said, Lamar's still limping around the facility, so he's clearly not ready to go. And whether or not that's a little bit of phony baloney as well, like him just going, it's no good, and just sort of limping around and just going, yep, see, limping, no good. But that hurts him in the long run because he wants guaranteed money. It's like, yeah, but what are we paying for? If we give you guaranteed money, you can't stay healthy.
What hurts him more, him actually then going out and playing and getting a serious injury or him not playing? What hurts him more?
I think it's 50-50.
I think if he went out there and then had a catastrophic injury, that's not his contract. Is not going to resemble anything will.
But so that's the Ravens
put themselves in this position.
No, they have. But Lamar, he's not helping because he wants a gigantic contract, b gigantic guaranteed money, and you can't give him massive guaranteed money when the past two seasons he hasn't shown that he can stay healthy. He's an unbelievable talent.
And is a former MVP, so he won't get fully guaranteed, but I think they're gonna have to give him at least close to it. It's gonna be pretty close.
I really think it's gonna be close.
Baltimore are just tying their own hands.
They've built their entire team around him too, so they have to keep rolling.
It's what I mean. But that's what I'm getting at. I think it's one of, but I think it's probably the biggest offseason because he could literally be anywhere. It's crazy.
There's a lot of money that's got to get thrown around if he's going to go anywhere.
Oh my god! So the last game was my Cowboys just dominating the Buccaneers, 31-14, and you know, clearly for me, just Dak Prescott's best game he's played this year by a long shot.
Especially after the last few weeks of poor performances, you know, for to have such a massive turnaround and play the game that he did. I thought was good and quite startling because he has ended this season quite poorly.
He's come into this game, I think, 25th on DVOA in the quarterback. He needed a game like this, and it was he did a lot of good things. Don't get me wrong. It's on my sort of side because it doesn't get talked about that much. Tyler Smith, who had to move to left tackle, he was playing left guard, had to move into left tackle because they lost a player. Their big former Philadelphia player, that massive guy. He's just one of the names left my head at the moment. But he's been good this year. But he was again good in this game to give. Dak that protection. As a rookie, he was really good. I mean, as good as Dallas played, and defense, and even on the defensive side, obviously, their dead defense was just hounding Brady. I think just it's just that Tampa Bay were playing terrible, and Tom was playing.
Yeah,
it is absolutely terrible.
Mike, one of his worst performances.
Every time I seen Tom Brady with the ball, that number 11 for Dallas was not that far behind. He was somewhere in the camera. It was insane.
Well, and we, you know, I think it's been fairly well documented too that, you know, Tampa's run game has been, I think it's like 31st or 32nd in the league all year. They made Brady, you know, throw a career high 66 attempts for a 45-year-old man.
You know, like, and this, what, this
what,
was
what
my
what are you doing? What are you doing?
This
to
was
him?
My point with Miami before. Like, I just at this point in his state in his career, I think he really needs that solid, dependable running game, which will be interesting. There's I've got one big question from this game though. Does Brian Maher ever kick again in the NFL?
Oh my God, like, wow.
Does he ever get another job again?
Yes. I mean, as crazy as those four misses are, and yes, they did sign a kicker.
Yeah, they signed another someone to the practice squad, but a nobody, like a no name to the practice squad, right?
It was a no name. Brett Maher will be their first choice kicker again. Except for that capitulation, he was the third best this year by a long shot. So it's just I don't know what happened. I mean the nerves, whatever. Because the holds were right. I went back and looked at every single hold.
Just one of them. I don't know, man. Just one of them games. Crazy. Kickers can have that.
That's right.
Dak didn't look too happy on the sideline.
Oh, Dak. No one did.
After that third kick, when they went to Jerry Jones in the box, I felt like there was about four accountants in there just working the books, trying to find a for a kicker.
You know, kicker has to be, even though they don't do much, has to be one of the most high-pressure jobs.
It is. 100%.
On an NFL roster.
I think it's up there with the quarterback.
Everything happens so quickly.
And nine times out of ten, as we see in a couple of these games, it comes down to the kicker in these games.
A lot of the time, your leading scorers in the league are kickers. Like the famous Colt kicker, is he still leading like scoring overall or something? Like they are there to put up points for a team, and their points are crucial.
Was it Vinatieri?
Tucker, I think all time, but Tucker
will probably blow his record
in terms of the amount of points they do provide. Like, you know, even though it doesn't seem like on the surface, but the kickers provide so much for a team.
You could have had
a worse kicker. I think the Cowboys they could have had Ray Finkel. So. You know, that's if look, man, it happens. It happens to the best.
The Laces were in.
That's right.
Ray Finkel. I didn't think I'd hear that today. But I know it kind of makes sense.
That's the thing. It's not Ray. It's not Ray's fault either. Like if Marino could hold the ball properly, like come on.
That's Ray. It's Ray Finkel's fault. He shouldn't have sex change. Before we move on. Because this is the last game. Like, what the hell do the Bucks do? Is we're all in agreement that Tom's not going to be there next year, correct? Or are we?
I don't know.
No.
I don't think he's there next year.
His media address was telling. Thank you, everyone, for everything you've done for me while I've been here. Like that doesn't sound like see you next year, guys.
The same thing happened last year.
they're looking for 44 days. They're looking for a QB or just kind of have a QB so they can get a number one pick next year. And they need to they need to punt Fournette. I mean that he had the worst season he's ever as great as he was in his last couple of years.
Yeah.
They needed a new RB as well. That Rashad White isn't as good to me isn't that great either.
I don't think so. But it could be a Jimmy G place.
It'd be hilarious, but it could be a Jimmy G.
That'd be fine. I think a lot of Tampa's problems started right at the start of the season when Ryan Jensen went down. They lost multiple players along the offensive front, and that just doesn't make it. You know, good for good football with Tom Brady at his age. If you can't protect him, then you've seen how many times he got frustrated on the sideline, you know, smashing Microsoft surfaces, getting in the faces of his offensive linemen, and yeah, and giving them what for. It's just like, dude, what, yeah, like we understand, but it's just like, yeah, this is second and third string guys that are trying to protect him, and that was never gonna go well for Tampa as a whole. Do you know what I mean? Like we all know that the NFC South was by far the worst division in football. Yeah. By far.
Yeah.
It was disgusting watching. And I had to put myself through watching NFC South game. It was horrendous.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole division.
You know, for them to be under 500, win the division, and get as much out of Tom Brady as what they could to make the playoffs again, which is, it's a huge effort, but that offensive that offensive front line, it needs to be healthy, and I don't know what Brady will be thinking. Like this season has cost him, you know, a lot football wise and family wise,
everything. I think that's the end of the games. I think that's what we'll move into our last few topics before we wrap that up, and I think obviously that's an easy segue to that is what. I mean, I mentioned it. What does Tom do? What does Tom Brady do?
Well, I don't think he retires. That's
no,
I think,
not a chance.
No,
no, not, don't a, think he reti-
not
I don't
a
think
chance.
He
hangs it up.
I think next year will be his last year, but I don't think he goes out this year. But where does he go? I said where I think he'll go. I mean, that's one of the main options. I've got a couple more.
I think that's more a logical. A logical place for him to go. There's also the Raiders that have been on the radar. They unceremoniously gave Derek Carr the arse, which I thought was a bit rough.
Well, that's the thing. So with that, so I'll talk about the Derek Carr thing first before about Brady going there. Derek Carr, so he's got a no trade clause.
Yep.
First thing. Secondly, they have to trade him or cut him if he doesn't give up that no trade clause, which he will.
That's
because
right,
he'll want to move 3 days before the Super Bowl, because after that Super Bowl kicks in, his guaranteed money moves to like $35 million that they have to then hit on dead cap instead of $12 million. So they have to move him.
They got to do something real quick.
I get why you, like, just team wise, I get why you say the Raiders, but is that his biggest thing? Does he move all that way? And it's not easy to get from what I hear from Vegas to Florida. It's not easy at all. Mm. I don't know if that happens.
He's also had the links there too. Like, you know, like they were in massive talks, very close as well to getting him there as well. So
Josh McDaniels there.
If he likes Josh McDaniels,
that's the other point that I was thinking.
But, I mean, what is the priority? Like, that's what I mean. Does he still want to be near his kids? Yeah, I get that. Winning, I get that. But what about the kids?
That's right.
We'll see.
That's right.
You know what though? If it was his kids, wouldn't he have retired? if it was truly about his kids, like I am not making any comment about Tom Brady as a person,
as a father, but
he, you know, like he has, it's not like he's going to leave football and be done with everything, but it's his drive that's keeping him going, and hence why his family probably broke up. He could have walked in to a $350 million contract with Fox and had more time with his family, and that's what his wife expected. Yeah, well, but that's the thing. His wife expected him to retire. He did.
Right.
He did. And then he said, no, I want to keep going. Where it comes down to what is going to give him the best opportunity to win. That's what I truly believe.
Well, I know you probably don't want to hear this, Plum, but I've heard rumors of, not the Saints. Sorry, that's not going to happen. I've heard rumors.
The Saints can't afford him.
Well, that's right. I've heard he's in close contact and waiting to see what Sean Payton's going to do.
Yeah.
And see if that's a vacancy, I've heard.
Yeah.
Because
I
know what you said about the ties of McDaniels, but I don't know how much he liked McDaniels. I don't know how much of that to read into. So I just think Miami's more plausible because I mean, except for the offensive line. for a lot of reasons, because and that's where he wanted to. He wanted to go there before the offensive line issues last year. He wanted to go there. So
yeah, but they had but the Dolphins had made significant upgrades on the offensive line for this season.
That's right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, so he wanted to go, but I'm saying like he wanted to go there. I just think that's a factor. I mean, I did see one throw out, which is like we've talked about this team, and it is his childhood team,
San Francisco.
Yeah, I've seen.
Why not?
But he's, you know what, he's been in talks with San Fran for years. But hey, if that option's there, that's the team. That like if he wants to win, that is the team. And that's the team. Goes there, I think they win. They've got the O-line. They've got the weapons. They've got the defense. No, I can 100% see that happening. And you know what? Like, if things heat up a bit more, I could see that happening. I haven't heard much in terms of that space currently with them, you know.
And the 49ers.
To sign him. Obviously, they wouldn't because where they're going, they don't want to put their current QBs off by saying, yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah, they want to keep that under wraps. But yeah, there's definitely the fairy tale ending aspect of this.
Yeah, I can see that's a great point.
No, that's right. Who deserves more of a fairy tale ending to their career than Tom Brady, really? Like it's you love him or hate him, you know, he's defied the odds so unbelievably throughout his career. It's unbelievable. Like he's put up the best fight against Father Time that any athlete has ever done.
The only other one, and again, I've mentioned this team, it has the second best offensive line this year, is the Panthers. He knows the division. Yeah. He knows the division very well.
He ain't got no one to throw to.
He's got DJ Moore.
DJ Moore.
The starters. He's got a couple of weapons. They have a great. They have a very good offensive line. More.
If you were looking for a dark horse bet for your money, how well
did that offensive line do for Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and all the other flops that have been there? Those are terrible QBs, though.
No, that's right. That's the difference. They were fine for them. They had time. They had time to throw. I wouldn't rule it out again because Tepper's got money.
It'd be good if you wanted to throw a couple bucks on and make a lot of money. That'd be a great bet. That's for sure.
You know what else? And things that have been heating up as well, the New York Jets.
Yeah. But I can see that because they've got decent rookie weapons, like they've got decent wide receivers.
Their defense.
And a good O line.
I think the O line. Yeah.
It'll come down to that. Will he like the coach? That's going to be the thing.
That's right.
I don't mind him
because
he was in that Shanahan system.
Salah is good.
Yeah, but Salah was the defensive coordinator there. Like he wasn't part of the offensive scheme with Shanahan.
So we're all in agreement he's going to play next year. We just don't know.
Absolutely.
100%. Okay. 100%.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. The last few topics, Miles, I think you wanted to touch on before we wrap up.
I guess like the one I think that's been fairly hefty, you know, there's been a lot of coaching casualties since the regular season's ended. More so coordinators really than head coaches. Like we've seen the axe fall on Cliff Kingsbury. I think that's sort of been the biggest one. Since the season's ended. They also sacked their GM as well. But I think Kingsbury getting let go. I thought it was a bit rough on Lovie Smith being let go at Houston.
Oh, mate, ridiculous.
That's rough. That is.
And you know what? It's not like they sucked ass either. They put up fight in a lot of games with.
Look, what did they win? Two games, three games.
Yeah, but there's a lot of games where they took teams to the edge in a lot of those games too.
That's a sneaky Peyton team. I heard it's a very sneaky Peyton team.
He's already interviewed with Houston.
It's a very sneaky Peyton team.
Yeah, he's already interviewed there. He was meant to be having an interview in New York with Carolina Panthers. He's already had a look in at Denver
Broncos.
So there's also the Arizona Cardinals that he's considering as well.
Or he could wait for a year until find a team.
No, that's right, and that's all. Yeah, and just keep his job with Fox and just carry on for another year. So, I think he's getting. I reckon he's getting a little antsy in the pantsy, and
very itchy.
He wants back in Sean Payton. So, and he's got the choice, man. He's going to be well sought after, and he will have. Yeah, he will have the pick of the litter, so to speak, in coaching jobs. Well, but just have a listen to this, just like with just coordinators, right? So Byron Leftwich, gone from Tampa. Mike LaFleur, the Jets offensive coordinator, gone. Greg Roman from Baltimore, gone.
Yeah, which that's a very interesting one to me.
That's a big one. But Joe Lombardi was the scapegoat for the LA Chargers.
Yeah,
Belichick has basically given Matt Patricia the ass from being the offensive coordinator. What a disaster that was! Like,
he shouldn't have gotten the job. Oh, it's just lucky that he was under the tree.
Holy mackerel! Like that is just a huge blunder by Belichick to do that. We had a couple of defensive coordinators go down. Yeah, Josh Boyer at Miami got sacked. And also Dean Pease from Atlanta, and which I've heard that Brian Flores is being looked at, is being very heavily considered at Atlanta.
He should be.
I think that'll help them out.
He should be. He's a damn good coach.
No, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And a great defensive coordinator. I don't think that he quite has the tools to maybe be a head coach. I don't think he's got the greatest people skills in the world. But. You know, as a defensive coordinator, very good. And he had a look at what Pittsburgh did this year with next to nothing. Do you know what I mean? Except coaching.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a pretty extensive list of coordinators, major coordinators, either defensively or offensively that have been given the sack this year, not to mention the coaches that were lost throughout the season. You know, Frank Reich. Matt Rhule, Nathaniel Hackett couldn't even last a year in Denver. Do you know what I mean? Like they seem to be extremely expendable coaches. Like people are just not willing to wait.
But what was that stat earlier on about how much money there is sitting in the air in terms of coaches that aren't working that they're paying out at the moment? Like,
oh, it's insane. That'd be insane.
Yeah,
and it's gonna keep going. It's gonna keep going.
Of course it will.
Especially with these deep pocket owners like the Broncos and like the Panthers, they'll keep doing it.
And how many circumstances? Like they're not gonna turn around and say Russell Wilson, you're out. Like sick of you.
Of course not.
They're going to say see you this coach. Oh, next coach didn't work. See you that coach.
They've got a quarter of $1 billion invested in Russell Wilson. They're not gonna turf him.
They've got money to burn. They spent. Ooh, they didn't have to on the final game. Final game, this is just a weird stat, but they on the final game, which they didn't have to win, they spent $500,000 to re-turf the ground just because it needed it. The field wasn't up to scratch. But they didn't need to because it was the final game of the season. That's how much money they got
now
to
the, that. They are now the richest owner group in the NFL. The Broncos are going to want to win. They're going to want to win badly.
That's right. And I think that was one of the real major players for Sean Payton. But
Russell Sean Payton, towards the end, I think, yeah.
I don't think that will happen because Sean Payton has got it in his head, or is, he's done, recruiting for who he wants to be his defensive coordinator, and he wants Vic Fangio. That didn't end very well in Denver, so I don't think.
New ownership group.
Yeah, I know, but whether or not Vangio has got a sour taste in his mouth, with the way that the organization, sort of hung him out to dry a little bit.
Maybe,
so.
But you're right. Could be ownership, could just completely doesn't make a difference. They didn't get rid of.
That's right. It's management. It's management. It's not the ownership. Management's the one he's going to have to deal with a lot more, I think, than ownership.
But at the same time, like with the ownership group buying new, and they want to win, paid the money, they see Sean Payton. I guarantee you, they're going to say. Like, if Vic comes in, we need to make sure that he is, welcome back with open arms because we want to win.
No, that's right.
I think
they're going to want to win badly.
And that they start with Russell Wilson. I think he needs he didn't see him. I think he needs to lose a little bit of weight, and that sounds ridiculous, but I think he just does need just to be that little bit more mobile again.
He needs to change his game.
Yeah, his game went because he was mobile.
Yeah, that's right. He needs to evolve.
But he could do that. He could still be. He needs that TB12 system, and he doesn't need the
TB12 system. He needs the Sean Payton system.
Well, he needs that too.
And you know what? Like they've got the defense there to win now too. Like their defense is awesome.
I'm sick of their friggin'. They need a wide receiver too. I'm sick of thinking their wide receiver is going to be good. Every year I pick one of them, and you're the same, Miles. Yeah. You pick Sutton this year in fantasy.
Oh, kill him.
He was going to be. But I'm sure you Sutton and friggin' Judy.
And Jerry Judy is right.
I'm sick of them. I just don't. I don't know if I put that on them though. Again. I don't know. Yeah, I won't pick them in fantasy, but like their run of QBs hasn't been amazing. You know, like Russ, I think there was times where he did show that he could work with like Judy at least, not so much.
Sutton was an afterthought,
which is surprising to me because Sutton is that big wide receiver that goes up and gets contested catches. And who do you leave? He left the DK Metcalf, who's a big wide receiver.
Yeah, that's right.
Courtland Sutton's what, 6'5" or whatever. Like, I thought that's where it would translate to. But who was the Hinton? Did he popped off more than a lot of the other? Yeah,
no, it's unbelievable.
I just think it was who Russ could get the ball to at the end of the day.
Well, you're right.
But how many running backs did they go through this season too due to injury?
Well, that's right. That's exactly what I was about to say.
I'll be one Latavius Murray.
That's what it ended up being.
But losing one of the the best young RBs at the start of the season, that was their biggest downfall.
That hurt
for the year. So
yeah.
You know that he's going to be great next year. No one's going to talk about him. He's just going to explode. I think. I really think so.
I think he's one of the better young running backs that are around. Him and Breece Hall and Kenny Walker. They're sort of the future. Oh. I think of. Yeah, potential running backs that can explode over the next couple of years.
Just wait until John comes in.
In a redraft fantasy, you've just got to pick young RBs. You just can't you can't really rely on the old one. But anyway,
nope,
that's a different conversation.
That's right. I think last but least, before we head off, we'll just punch through. I don't know what ideas we've got here for our awards this season before. The actual awards come through. Who we think are going to get the major yep. awards this year? So, if you want to start off with the big mama, we'll go with MVP of the league.
Aiden,
look, I was honestly this season, and maybe I should just do it. I should keep leaning towards it. Was Hurts after where the Eagles have sort of ended up? But you know, I don't. It'll probably end up going to Pat. I think at the end of the day. But I think Hurts after what the Eagles have done this season, you know, the season that they've had, winning gets rewarded, quarterbacks get rewarded. So that's probably where
quarterback
I'm
award, really.
Towards. Yes, it is 100%.
Of course it's a quarterback award. I think, I've got Patrick Mahomes. If Hurts wasn't injured in those last few games,
it would have been fine.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's what hurts, so to speak.
I still
think it's going to be Jalen Hurts.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't expect a pun to come out. Jesus.
Speak about the fantasy love, Miles, Devonta.
I'll tell you what. I had to get off that train. I had to get off it.
Get back on.
No thanks.
What about
a season and a half was bad enough.
Offensive player of the year,
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, that's who I have as well.
I think that's quite easy that one.
I just looked at the odds before, and the odds there's obviously lots of different odds, just so I could get an idea in my head. Tyreek Hill was up at the top of the ones I looked at, which I thought was interesting, but I'm going JJ, so.
Yeah, no, Justin Jefferson.
Should be up there.
He was number one. That's what I'm talking about. Which
that's
not
that
absurd.
Just means that there's money.
For
that
me,
just means that there's a lot of money put on him.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Defensive player of the year?
Joey Bosa. Still...
Joey Bosa. Yeah. I've got Nick Bosa.
No, not Joey Bosa. Not Joey Bosa. He's in my head because of the helmet drama. And I just Nick. Watched a video of him saying the refs are dickheads, basically. Nick Bosa, sorry.
Yeah, Nick.
Joey's in my head. Nick, yeah.
Look, Nick Bosa's had an unbelievable back half of the season, but I still think Micah Parsons.
I think he got left down towards his end of the season. That's why. Yeah, I think that's close.
What I mean. I think that's where you know people might go a little bit more recency bias and go with Nick Bosa, but I still think Micah Parsons, the start of his season and the way that it. Not so much. Yeah, it's petered out a little bit, but he's up there, and I think it's deserved.
I think people also look at though just how, not just the player, but the dominance of the defense, and they sort of put that down to a player. And,
yeah, that's right.
You know, San Fran have just been stomping people this year, and that people are always going to put that. Not that he shouldn't, he should get credit, but people are going to put that down to Bosa.
It'll be like, oh, it's only. That's, I mean, it's not only Nick Bosa, but yeah, I still think body of work, you know, start through to finish of the season. I still think Micah Parsons.
Yeah, shout out to Matthew Judon on a great year though.
He was
phenomenal.
That's right, and he would get forgotten because New England had a pretty good defense, but yeah, I think Judon's had a great 2 years.
Oh. Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Offensive rookie of the year. Not as close cut as you think.
No, it's not. I had to pick, I think, Garrett Wilson for this one. With a 1,000-yard receiving season with what he had. I don't mind Garrett Wilson. And, you know, big talk from a lot of players saying how much they like him as well. So I'm going to go Garrett Wilson.
Not even close. It's not even close.
Don't you dare say who I think.
It's Chris Olave. It's Chris Olave. Sorry. It's Chris Olave.
You know what? I would have said it, but I think he teed it off too much to the end. I thought he had a really good
back end of the season.
I thought he started off
on
fire.
The Saints had an awful season. It's Chris Olave.
It's not Chris Olave.
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah, I don't.
You know,
to me, it's two.
You seriously would lay money down saying it's Chris Olave. It's not.
I have.
Oh. No. How much for? How much was he paying?
He's paying a hell of a lot more now. I got it at a shit price.
There's only two that I think are there. It's Walker and Wilson.
Walker, give me a break.
No.
Olave's had a much better season than what he's had.
Yeah, I think it's Wilson and Olave 1-2 personally, and Walker's probably a third maybe. Olave's had a great. I'm not saying he hasn't a great season.
No, definitely not.
It's Chris Olave.
Yeah, no.
And while I take the black and gold glasses off. I've been saying it all year.
I just went Garrett Wilson just on the basis that he just had, you know, in a terrible, very terrible quarterback. And so I know you did as well, but he, you know, he had the best receiving yards, not by miles, but he still had the best receiving yards.
Yeah, and we had Andy Dalton thrown to him.
Yeah, well, we had Mike White. Well, Jets had Mike White.
Mike White, Zach Wilson.
What about defensive? Flacco. Defensive rookie of the year. I think this one's a no-brainer.
Saucy. Yeah.
Has to be.
I'm going Aiden Hutchinson. He has been wrecking defenses.
Yeah.
Towards the back end. But Gardner all year, firstly, got his first All-Pro selection. Secondly, only allowed 5.3 yards per target this year. That's insane. For a rookie,
that's crazy. He's got a big reputation. I still Aiden Hutchinson's a wrecking ball.
I think he's
a big. you say that Detroit's has had a horrendous a horrendous season, nearly made the playoffs. like but he has been an unbelievable shining light defensively for them.
Yeah.
What about the comeback player of the year?
I don't know. Pretty easy.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. Is it? I mean, that's wow. Yeah. I did think about Saquon, but
that's really?
I think it's the Great White Northwest. I think it's Geno Smith.
I've seen chat for Geno, but I would. Do we call that comeback though? Is that
like okay. Throughout his career, 37 touchdowns total. This year, he threw for 30.
But that's, but to me,
he's,
I don't know if that's he's comeback.
Not, he's not comeback
the essential
player
though.
Of the year. He's the most improved player of the year.
That's what I'd say.
I still think. Do they have that?
Yes.
They don't have that like the NBA, do they?
They do. No. They do. They do have the most improved still. They do have the most improved.
I think that's his award to win for sure.
Yeah, I kind of think it's between two, and because of where he was last year, and then where they both were this year, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And I think because there's some supporters, you can't tell me compared to last year, this year, how good Jared Goff was.
Yeah.
Jared Goff should be in there. As a comeback,
but that's not a that's the most improved. That's not a comeback.
See, this is why
if you're going to boo me for having Geno Smith,
you're right.
I would say CMC's up there. Saquon's got to be up there. Yeah, Saquon. I could see that.
A homer. Well, technically it should be Brian Robinson, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's right.
yeah. Hey, he has one of the best NFL tunnel entrances ever. Did you guys see the entrance where they played the 50 Cent song?
Shot?
Was it the 50 Cent song?
No.
He came out. Yeah, it was something like that.
I get a real bad boys too sort of feel about it. It's like, damn, someone shot you in the ass.
he should be winning by a long shot, pun intended. Yeah.
We all got puns around here.
I see the Geno, but I just think I've got McCaffrey. This is a comeback. Anyway, but Geno most improved, which I still think is in play.
Yeah.
I'm sure
you get him or Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last of the awards.
Coach of the year?
No, we didn't do Coach of the year.
That's a good one. Oh, no, that Dayball for me.
Yeah, I think so.
Four and 13, 6-10, 4-12, 5-11, 3-13. All these years with Daniel Jones, all these years with Saquon, all these years of people saying Daniel Jones isn't a starting QB. And yeah, I'm not saying he's an amazing QB by any means, but this just shows the impact of good coaching.
System.
Yeah, a good system, good coaching.
Not having somebody like Joe Judge who's got the people skills of this can of Coke right
Jason,
here.
Jason Garrett or whoever. Yeah. Last year, do you remember when we ran that QB sneak on
that's bad coaching, that's just been so evident.
Yeah, like, and this year, Daniel, like, it's evident not just through the team, but through Daniel Jones. Like, and obviously, I do think a big part of it is Daboll, this is a QB suited for Daboll sort of repertoire. Someone who's mobile, has a bit of a big arm.
You know who could sneak in over Daboll?
Sirianni?
And then the one you just said it about how crap the Giants were and where he got to him. Doug Peterson went from a 3-14 team to a winning division winning team.
Yeah.
That's a sneak.
You know what? I wouldn't poo-poo it at all. If he were to win it, absolutely deserving. Obviously mine is more close to home because I've seen the trash and then I've seen what it's turned into, but if Peterson won it, well deserved, I think.
And Dayball, like, he's like, he's the darling as well, kind of thing.
New York, the market, it's probably playing right into it. Well. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, Peterson has to be thrown in there for that 3-1
experience
of what they have now to win the division.
If you wanted to make some quick bucks, you know who I reckon could be a real sneaky, but they'll never do it, is Dan Campbell.
He's a media darling at the moment too. So
they love him.
Yeah, I could see that. You know what though? Maybe if they had have snuck in and gotten to the playoffs or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
look, they did everything. They did everything they could. You know, they lost a few heartbreakers throughout the start of the season, but you know they did everything they could towards the back end of the season to give themselves the best chance. Yeah, the big Green Bay in the last round, and then all that they just needed, you know, a loss by Seattle. It didn't happen, so that sort of knocked them out. So that's talking about the Detroit Lions, I think is a huge improvement.
I did like what you said, Aiden. I think you probably can't really rule out Sirianni to have that best record.
No,
like that,
I just and you that's know, that,
again,
winning.
They weren't
it's
great
just,
last year. Can't lose.
Winning is a thing for everyone. Like it, you know, how often does winning just even if a player isn't great, winning is what shapes the award at the end of the day. Like
no, that's right.
You know, and they've been a dominant team.
Yeah, and he's turned Jalen Hurts into a potential MVP, which, you know, I was all in.
Another Alabama QB that people weren't high on coming into the league.
That's right. And they thought they were absolutely foolish to take him in the second round.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now he's their long-term option.
If he doesn't win Coach of the Year, I would give what's his name? Because that's the last award GM of the year, the Eagles GM. His name's just left me. He definitely probably like the trades he made and where he got to get AJ Brown and put him where they are, those late free agency pickups that he got. You know, a couple from St. Gardner Johnson,
the big DTs, Dumbass,
but still. You know, he'll probably get GM of the year.
The move of the year is getting AJ Brown.
If the Eagles don't get an MVP or a Coach of the Year, they should get GM of the Year. They deserve something for the year they've had.
I think so. I think he'll get it. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, awesome.
That's all the awards.
That's it. Super right, well, wildcard weekend in the rearview mirror. We've got four games. Yeah, so four games next week, the first one is Jacksonville at Kansas City. What do we see there?
it's a hard decision, but I'm going the Chiefs.
it's a tough one.
Yeah, tough.
I think the Chiefs and I think because they keep, you know, basically dicking around all year. I think Chiefs by dominating Chiefs. Not it's just we're going to keep them in it. I think it's a
massive
dominating
line team. Though. -9.5.
I'm half thinking of taking a Jag line for that reason.
Confidence there will be very high in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and nothing to lose. And Peterson knows.
No, exactly. Nothing to lose, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing to lose at all. All right. The next game that's on the Saturday night over there, but Sunday for us is division rivals, your New York Giants going into Philly. What do we see there? The spread is -7.5 for Philadelphia, so over a touchdown.
Oh, really? That's another tease.
That's interesting.
I like that one too. I like the Giants in that spread.
The Giants can cover. The Giants should be able to cover.
Yeah.
Easy.
Look,
I think you go, Aiden, short team.
Sorry, no. I may have made some homer picks today, but I have the Eagles here. You know, I think we've done a heap this year for what we have, but the Eagles have built up an all round really good team. And I think it's just that's just going to be too much for us because we still have a lot of glaring weaknesses. And I think the Eagles, I think they'll probably take us. And if I'm honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, if they do us in this game.
Nothing to lose, just like the Jags.
Yeah. I don't see that. I actually think it'll be closer than you think.
Just having a look now. The Giants are 14-4 against the spread, so they cover.
Yeah, that 7.5, I'm definitely taking that as well. I'm going to pair that with that Jags run. No, because I think what will happen at the start is they're not talking much about Jalen Hurts' shoulder still, and I think your team will give away a cheap 15-yard penalty just to test out what his shoulder's like, just through it, you know, a roughing the passer, just to see what that shoulder's like. I would.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well.
In this league, you don't need to give it away. In this league, you just need to run past the QB to get called. So.
I would if I was Giants.
Put a hit in, loop 15 yards, see what he's like. If he gets up all good,
I'd fart on him as well. Okay, the Monday game, Sunday night / Monday for us. This game is being played in Atlanta. Am I correct or it is being played in Buffalo?
I don't know. No, this one's being played in Buffalo.
I thought I'd heard that they were going to move it to Atlanta, but I'm just having a look here. So if
they win, if the Bills win and the Bills play the Chiefs because they're first to second, that game is being played in Atlanta.
That's what I must have been reading.
And, silly enough, you know, they're already started selling tickets for the Atlanta game.
Yeah, that's what I read. Apparently, they gave first choice to the Bills ticket holders.
But that's so disrespectful to the Bengals.
That's rough. Because that means tickets on the secondary market are going to be ridiculous.
The spread on this game
is -5.5 for Buffalo.
DeMar Hamlin, all that, I get that. I honestly think after what I've seen with the Bills, I think the Bengals can win. I really do.
The Bengals, they can win. They should cover, but I still think the Bills will have enough. I think it'll be home ground advantage. I think that'll be the only thing over the line. I did not like what I've seen with Cincinnati last week, and hopefully they can shake out of that.
But then what I've seen of the Bills was worse than what I've seen of the Bengals.
No, exactly.
Personally, you imagine the Chiefs. Bengals, like that rivalry that's already starting to heat up again. Like that was a game last year. So
yeah, that's right.
I don't know. I think they can win. I really do. That's my pick.
Buffalo.
I think I've been leaning towards Buffalo for most of the season, but when I look at like both teams and how sort of evenly matched they are with their construction, both sides of the ball are pretty good. But, you know, if I put it down to just who I think is the better QB, I'm going to go with Joey Burrow and the Bengals. He's built for it. He really is built for it. I love Joe Burrow.
he's built for those big moments. He's proven in the big moments that he can handle the pressure. So I just think the home crowd gets Buffalo over the line here. Yeah, but Cincinnati will cover that 5.5 easy.
Yeah, look at all those lines. This is ridiculous. I think I'm going to have to go all the roughies easily.
That's the playoffs. Like, it's very rarely that there's any super blowouts.
What's the next line then? This next line's going to be interesting.
Okay, so the final one is sort of like that main game. The Cowboys go into San Francisco to play the 49ers. It is San Francisco -4.
So the Cowboys hype train's got on that clearly.
So they're +4.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like the money that must have went on the Cowboys is purely based on the hype of last week.
Oh, possibly.
Because that should be probably. I think that should be a bit further out, personally. Just a little bit more. Not much, 5.5, maybe.
And that's the thing. I'm not sure what the line actually started at, but if it's at a nice round number, then there's been money coming either way. So that's what they would have had to have shifted the line. Because usually they won't open at an even number. It'll be, 4.5, 5.5. Oh,
yeah.
So something's happened there that money has come through. For one of either or, and they've had to shift the line. See, that's the way they do things in the States. Here in Australia, it's just they'll just make they'll keep the same line, but they'll just make the odds shorter.
Here we go.
For me, I still think San Francisco. Like you said before, if they can rush the passer and put a heap of pressure on Brock Purdy, we'll see what the young guy's made of. But I think the more well-rounded team here is San Francisco, and I think they'll get over the line, and I think they'll cover as well.
Aiden?
Yeah, I'm going to go San Fran. And it's not because of the dominance they've had this year. I've watched the Cowboys last couple of years just make a lot of silly choices when it comes to these big moments. For them to win, they're going to need to throw to CD and expose the secondary. And I find a lot of the times they just don't feed the best playmakers as much as they should. But I think this game they need to expose it secondary. CD needs to have a huge game. And Dak obviously needs to make sure he doesn't turn the ball over. That's a pretty easy one. But I'm gonna go with San Fran. I think everything's behind them at the moment.
I think so. I know you're going to go the Cowboys.
yes, I am going the Cowboys. They're a nice 5-0. Well, when I'm going way back, obviously, but they're a nice 5-0 against San Francisco in divisional games. They have a loss against San Fran in divisional games.
Took them 30 years to win a road playoff game before they won in Tampa.
Well, we don't need to talk about that. We're talking about it now. Can I just
remind you too, Jason? You took Tampa Bay over Dallas last week as well.
I know I did.
Of course I did. I know I did. I'm more scared of Tom Brady than I am of Brock Purdy.
With good reason. This team is a lot better.
Yeah, you're right. This team is a lot better.
If the game starts out the way it did against Tampa, just with the with not being able to put up those points early, I think it's going to get ugly if they can't get the way they looked at the start of the game against the Buccaneers.
If Micah can get to Purdy, that's the only way we're going to win.
And
that's what I'm betting on, Jonks.
Offensive line for San Francisco is going to be they're going to have their work cut out for them. And just sort of having a read here before
it'll
we just
come down to
back.
A field goal.
We just circle back to the Bills Bengals game. The Bengals are going to be down another two offensive linemen for that game against the Bills as well. Ooh. So that's really going to hurt. I'm just sort of reading some headlines just here. That hurts.
That's Collins, Lael Collins, isn't it?
They've lost Kappa. He went down. He went down last week. And now that they've also lost Jonah Williams as well, left tackle. And they lost Alex Kappa as well. So that hurts. Alrighty.
Von Miller's a bigger loss.
Yeah, that is a huge loss.
Yeah, I know, but you don't want to see Joe Burrow scrambling and being pummeled. So he could be scrambling for his life. But that's I think that's a determining factor in that game. All righty, that'll do us.
All right. Awesome.
Cool. All righty. So if you want to check us out on social media, we are on Twitter. You can check us out at Final Play Pod on Twitter. You can check us out on Facebook. Just search the Final Play Podcast on Facebook. You get all of our content on there, all podcasts. We post up lots of stuff like news and stuff like that from all sports, NBA, NFL, NRL. So post up heaps of stuff on there. So if you want to keep up to date with what we're doing there, check us out on Facebook. You can get our pods on Spotify. Same thing. Search the Final Play Podcast. We also have like the Spotify links on Facebook. So you can click on the links and then you can follow us on Spotify from there. Also on SoundCloud. We also are a part of the Gimco family. So you can check us out on their website on gimco.com.au, G-I-M-K-O. They have us on their podcast section. We're also on their podcast network. We also obviously thank those guys for the promotions that they put in for us. So we'll always promote all of their good stuff with card breaks and stuff like that they do at the moment. So heaps of NBA. Dom will be working on a Super Bowl like mega break, which will be usually on the bit of expensive side, but it's always a massive break. They're also got a WWE impeccable break at the moment, which I'm pretty sure I'm the only one still that has a spot in that. So get on that, people. I want that impeccable box busted. Let's go. So check those guys out. GIMKO.com.au. You know, thanks to Mojo King and Dom and everybody associated with those guys. So we'll always promote them. So thanks a bunch. Thanks, Jace. Thanks, Aiden, for jumping on.
Thank you. That was awesome.
I guess we'll see you again next week if we can tee everybody up again. Four games next week, and we'll try and pump through those a little bit quicker than what we did this one.
We'll like to finish on. My name's Jason. We still got to do our stud and dud of the week, Smith.
All right, very good. Okay, that's why you're running the show.
So my stud of the week is, well, go ahead, Aiden, because this is the same stud as you got. I couldn't not go past him. Although Jack Moore, but go ahead.
I don't want to give any explanation. Let's just say it straight up. Daniel Jones is my stud of the week. thank you very
he's
much.
He's my stud of the week too. He's my stud of the week. He's mine.
Thank you.
As
thank
great
you.
As Jack Moore was in that game, Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was just a 75-yard running tank and actually threw the ball pretty good.
Yeah.
Compared to they played
and has a huge neck.
He does, but he's got the second biggest neck to my start of the week. Trevor Lawrence's second half performance. He has got the thickest neck. It's unbelievable. But I'm just going second half performance to Trevor Lawrence.
Daniel Jones compared to Dak played a better team, and that's why I gave it to him. Dak played a terrible team, as good as he was. So, done of the week.
The Chargers. Sorry, I had to pick the whole team.
The whole team.
If you give up 27-0, you are done.
Correct.
Well, that's not mine. Well, mine's glaringly obvious, and it had a star on his jersey, and he said must have seen stars because he couldn't kick a goddamn field goal. That's Brett Maher.
That's true.
Easy. That's a dud for me. That's a massive dud.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
My dud of the week is also any
other team.
No, yeah, that's true. So my dud of the week is Trevor Lawrence's first half performance. How the hell do you throw four interceptions in the first half?
That's Nathan Peterman.
He thought Asante Samuel was one of his wide receivers.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Did he have like a camouflage jersey or something? What the hell was going on? It was unreal.
He has that in his game. He does have that in his game, unfortunately.
What, four interceptions? He does have that in his game.
Just silly throws. He's getting at.
His second year.
I'm just saying. We all crown friggin' Justin Herbert after a friggin' year. No, like, that's I'm true. Just saying he hasn't had any game.
That's true.
So, what? What are you shaking your head at, Aiden?
No, Justin Herbert's all right, but the one thing I always I always debated people with was it was just like obviously Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence and people touted him, but it's like we forgot about Joe Burrow and just how damn good he was and whatnot, and people touted debates that I've had.
Justin Herbert made and that's what everybody fell in love with.
Oh yeah, I think Justin Herbert's a good player. I just think he needs a better coach. I just don't,
the way they talk about him,
he's a second-hand, the way they talk about Justin Herbert, like, he's Mahomes-esque, and he's just not at the moment, not even close.
At the moment.
So,
potential. Yeah. It's all about potential.
Well, maybe not ever, but who knows. Daniel Jones can be technically Mahomes-esque, but anyway.
He's probably more Josh Allen-esque.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I call him Josh Allen Light.
I think he's at so far in the last few weeks he's played better than Josh Allen, Daniel Jones. It should be the other way around.
He's got rid of the fumbles out of his game.
Well, that's the biggest thing the last couple of years, the fumbling and the turnovers.
Yeah, that's right.
And now he makes farm plays.
As dumb as this sounds, he's probably going into this technically the best NFC quarterback right now. Why not?
He's been playing. That's seriously. Yeah, that's
Jason. You're making some great calls. I appreciate listening to you.
I'm serious.
As a Giants fan, I don't. My head's swelling up
on the calls. It's not gonna be able to fit inside the little window on it.
I just love finding the humor in it. Like, you know. Obviously, he didn't look good, so the credit that was there. But people just, you know, they jump onto the player and whatnot. You know, Daniel Jones people didn't think he was good enough to be a a backup QB. You know, it comes down to the system you play in and how well you take it on.
I think it was more the fact of how high he actually went in the draft. Like, I don't think people are questioning. You know, skill set or anything like that. It's just like number five. Like, what are you crazy?
No, number six. But six. He does. It's a New York team. We pick people like that. Kristaps Porzingis. We pick New York teams. We pick people high that no one expects.
Yeah, Frank Ntilikina.
Yeah.
Well, as good as Saquon Barkley is, I still don't think they should have taken him at two, a running back at two, but that was always
good. That was a bit of a different league.
That's 5 years ago.
I just think the way, like, after you look at the health, that's the health of RBs now, I don't think you'll see as much of that anymore. I really don't.
No, I wouldn't think so. He was kind of a cut-list prospect at running back, though.
Well, the only other one that's supposedly can't miss is this other Bijan. Robinson, is Bijan Robinson. He's apparently like Saquon Barkley in the cut-list prospect, but you'll never see a number two pick anymore. But I'm only saying look at the people that went after him. Look at the QBs that went after him. You could have had Josh Allen. Literally.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
Oh, look, you know what though? Like Saquon did. He came out and he had a 2,000-yard offensive yard season in his rookie year, good as you can ask for from a running back. You know, but at the end of the day, our offensive line was disgusting, and he got pounded.
And he had Eli Manning. You
know, the one thing is, he was never a Derrick Henry, just smash you until I wear you down. He needs holes. He needs to be able to make a break and make explosive runs. And, you know, no running back is going to last unless you're Derrick Henry behind just getting hammered.
He's just a piece of granite with eyes, arms, and legs. He's unbelievable.
That's true.
He's unbelievable. All right, good job, everyone.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
All right.
All right. See ya.
Have a good week, everyone.
Yeah.
You too.